Turn your Bible with me to the 2 Timothy, please. Chapter 3. I don't think that any born-again Christian would disagree with me that we are living in the last days. Some Bible scoffers would say, well, that's what they said 2,000 years ago, and it will continue another 2,000 years. Well, that might be quite a convincing argument if you don't care the truth about the truth, or if you don't care about biblical prophecies. According to the Bible, according to my Bible, according to the Bible on your lap, there is not one single prophecy need to be fulfilled before the Jesus come to get us, known as rapture. In other words, it can happen in the next 60 seconds. Won't that be cool? And you're thinking, yeah, ain't going to happen. And on the way up, I'll say, see, I told you. Besides, their argument has been already predicted by the Lord, and it's been recorded in the Bible. Wouldn't you know that? 2 Peter chapter 3, please. Keep your finger in 2 Timothy and go to the right. We find 2 Peter chapter 3, please. I may not even say that kind of thing. I just look at you with that look, you know. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. With this period of the last days, and there will be times, also known as seasons, of this different kinds. But as the time draws to close, they will become perilous. The definition of perilous I find from the dictionary is, I'll just read it to you, involving of the full of grave risk of peril, hazardous and dangerous. And this is the Greek word where we find kalapos, and that is used describing two violent demoniac of the Gadara in Matthew chapter 8:28. Let's again keep your finger in 2 Timothy. Go to Matthew chapter 8, please. Matthew chapter 8. If you're not familiar with the Calvary Chapel, we thumb through Bible awful lot during our service, and that's what we love to do. That's how we learn the Word of God. So get used to it. Chapter 8, verse 28. When he, that is Jesus, had come to the other side, to the country of Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of a tomb, exceedingly fierce. That's the word, kalapos. It's the same word as a perilous. So that no one could pass that way. This suggests that violence of the last day will be energized by demons. And there is absolutely no doubt that more and more heinous and horrendous crimes will be committed by the people around the world. If you don't know, we have several law enforcement personnel in our congregation. They can tell you it's getting worse and worse. Rather than reading the newspaper, I have a tendency to read web page and from the foxnews.com. And being a computer geek, that's what I do. I don't hold a newspaper like a regular people. And this is the headline I saw in yesterday morning. Starting with a U.S. judge cleared the second Navy SEAL in the Iraqi abuse case. That should not be in the courtroom. Amen? Seven Mexican cops killed in violence plagued the city, and the SEC pushed back on the porn surfing bombshell. Hospital claimed the world's first full face transplant. I don't think anybody wants my face. Did Obama have a hand in the filling on Senate seat? Let me think. Condemned Utah killer will face the firing squad. And man screaming, Satan threatened to bomb the plane. Radical next door behind the South Park threat. No kidding. Green schools under your dime. And here's a good one. Here's a rather, I don't know what to tell you even. 11-year-old rape victim, one baby. And Detroit strip club employee, 14-year-old. Homeless hero ignored while dying in the New York City street. And search for the missing rig worker and in California police launched an investigation into the iPhone leak. And this Army doctor's court-martial may yield to the new documents. New York City subway terror suspect pleads guilty. Every one of them is coming from what we are going to learn. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, indeed we are living in the last days when it requires to be aware of what is going on around us and in us all the time. Give us a pure heart and obedient heart to follow you and honor you. Give us your wisdom to understand the instructions you have for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray for President Obama that he may come to know Jesus, receive salvation, receive Jesus into his heart, that he may turn his heart away from ungodly things to do right things. And we pray for our troops who are in harm's way in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and wherever they are. We're asking you to watch over them, protect them, and you willing, bring them back to us, to their families, safe and sound, quickly. And we also lift up the law enforcement personnel and firefighters, especially the Pastor Merrill, who is going to fight against the wildfire, and the Border Patrol agent, the sheriff deputies who are especially attending our church. We're asking you to watch over them and protect them. And you be their backup. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 3 in 2 Timothy, please. But know this, that in the last day, perilous time will come, for men will be, underline, lovers, please, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and boasters, proud, blasphemers, and disobedient to parents, and unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, and traitors, headstrong, haughty, again, underline, the lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. We're going to go through about 7 different things systematically to take a look at what Apostle Paul is talking about. First one is a lover of themselves. Here are 18 characteristics listed here. Don't you think that what we just read in the headline is going the parallel line with this, what we just read here, 18 characteristics? They are side by side. It covers every area. The word, the lover of themselves in verse 2, original Greek word, is philotos. Of course, we get the word phila. There are 4 different kinds of loves in the brotherly love. Latos, and that's the self, loving themselves. And it means loving oneself to intend to one's interest, selfish. Contemporary psychologists fan the flame on self-love more than ever before. They say that self-love is a foundation of a healthy human personality. We have a Greek word for that, don't we? Hogwash, exactly. We don't need to be encouraged to love oneself because we naturally have a great love for ourselves, and that is a fundamental problem we have in our relationship with God and others. We love ourselves way too much. Go to the Romans chapter 12. This is a memory verse we have. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say that through the grace given to me, for to everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. In many cases, we think ourselves way too highly. And some people will say, well, I don't. That's not true. And then some people say, well, I have a low self-esteem. I think we went over this thing. Low self-esteem, because the reason why you have low self-esteem is because you have a high standard. You are not meeting your own goal. So that's why you have a low self-esteem. We must see ourselves as who we really are. Both depraved sinner in flesh and the forgiven and redeemed saint in Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Yeah. When you boil down all 18 characteristics of perilous time, you get the conclusion of pride and selfishness. The heart of every problem is a problem in the heart. Let me say one more time. The problem of every heart of every problem is the problem in the heart. God commands us to love Him with all of our heart and mind and soul and body, supremely, and then neighbors as ourselves. In the Bible, never say love yourself first. But in reality, let's admit it, vast majority of us love ourselves supremely first, and then God, we might think about it. And then who's a neighbor? If we really love our God supremely over ourselves, we would do what the Lord tells us to do over what we want. Amen? Amen? Second thing we find is lovers of money. Lovers of money. In this universe, there is a God who owns everything. He owns everything. And there are people and things. We should worship the Lord our God and love people and use things for His glory. That's the right sequence. God first, people and things. But when we start to love and worship ourselves and we get to ignore God and start to loving things and using people for our own selfish benefit. This is the formula for miserable life, yet it characterizes many people today. It has been said that covetousness does not have a limit. I have a good example for you, George Soros. How many of you guys know the George Soros? How many of you guys don't know George Soros? Okay. And how many of you guys don't care? George Soros became known as the man who broke the Bank of England. He made $1 billion, $1 billion, that's $1,000 billion, in one day, 1992, on Black Wednesday. He sold 10 billion sterling pound and pretty much bankrupt United Kingdom. Because of him, the whole system in British in United Kingdom went down, and the property and asset and investment went down the drain. In other words, he didn't care as long as he made money. With a $14 billion personal asset, $14 billion personal asset, he pretty much has a control over just about anything. And now countries, politically, financially. And he contributed millions of dollars, over $100 million, to President Obama's campaign in 2008. Was it 2000? No, I'm sorry. 2008, sorry. He didn't, the George Soros did not contribute directly. What he did, he used over 250 organizations, he donated money to the 250 organizations, and they, in turn, they had to contribute to the President Obama, because there's a limit you can contribute, according to campaign law. Very smart man. healthcare reform. Do you think they really care about your health? Mm-hmm. It controlled 1/6 of the national economy. And also bailout. And another thing they're controlling is our next generation, national student loan. Student loan become nationalized. And how about automakers market? And now he is trying to control financial market. He's going into Wall Street, President Obama is. He's doing all of this because George Soros is pulling the strings as he wants. In other words, I'm daring to say this. President Obama is nothing more than a puppet of George Soros. And you may say, how come I never heard this from CBS, NBC? Well, what do you think? They are cheerleading squad for the Obama. Pretty soon, if this keeps it up, and nobody do anything about it in November 2010 and 2012, pretty soon our country will be under the thumb of George Soros. This man is conquering the world. He conquered the United Kingdom. He is conquering the United States. He already conquered the rest of the Western Europe. There's nothing he need to do anymore. He's conquering the entire world without firing one shot. Tell me that's not covetousness. Third category we find is boasters and proud and blasphemers. The direct result of loving oneself and money is a pride. Today, boasting, pride, and blasphemy are apparently everywhere, especially among the celebrities that our culture idolized them. In their pride, they put themselves in the position of God. Romans 1:25, please. Romans 1:25. And you're thinking, I thought we're going to study 2 Timothy. We are. Romans 1:25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than creator who is blessed forever. Fourth character I find is disobedient to the parents and unthankful. How many parents would say, oh yeah? How many of our parents would say, oh yeah? It's not surprising more and more children become disobedient to their parents and unthankful for their parents' sacrifice since they are not taught the Ten Commandments in school. And many parents want to be their friends rather than being parents. Mom and Dad, listen carefully, please. Don't try to be your children's friend. Your title is parent, not friends. If you come to the point, my daughter and I almost like a friend, but still I'm her father. If you become their friends, they will ignore you. But if you are their parents, they will respect you. You with me? Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, please. By the way, the reason why the many parents think that they should be a friend to the children is because of worldly psychology's advice. What good can you get from the worldly psychologist? Dr. Phil? Verse 12, this is the fifth commandment out of Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. During the Old Testament time, when the kids having an attitude, guess what they did? They took them outside of camp, stoned the kid to death. That's not stoning like that, okay? The serious stoning. Folks, families are under attack heavily nowadays. As goes the families, so goes the nation. I'm sure that you've noticed any TV so-called family sitcoms have this family. The parents are mostly idiots, especially dads. They are fumbling idiots. That's how they want to portray. Guess where the kids get the cues? And they treat the parents just like that. And they learn all that from the TV. Fifth characteristic, I combine all four of them together. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders. In the place of natural love that God has put into the men and women and the families, today we have a massive amount of unnatural love, I should call lust, which God has condemned. Back to the Romans chapter 1, please, verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passion. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving natural use of woman, burn in their lust for one another. Man with man, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness, and full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, and their whisperers, and backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. Did you notice the last portion of the verse 32? Not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. I know some of you work for the company where they call so-called diversity training. Diversity training is, honest goodness, nothing more than homosexual propaganda. And if you stand against it, you're pretty much doomed. Your promotion is out the door. If not, you get fired. Homosexuals don't want an equal treatment in America. They want a special privileged treatment over everyone else. In addition to that, they want to silence Christianity because the Word of God, just like this one, the Bible clearly condemns their lifestyle of perversion. No matter what they try to do, God will judge them in the end. By the way, one of the false teachers, Tony Jones, from the Emergent Church, he said that he wants to get rid of the one book out of the Bible. Guess which one he chose? Book of Romans. Wonder why? Sixth characteristic is without self-control, brutal, despiser of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of the pleasure rather than lovers of God. When people don't follow what the Lord says in the Bible, they don't care what others think. You agree? There is no self-control. People will do whatever they please. It's in the last verse of the last chapter in the book of Judges. Book of Judges, last chapter, chapter 21. Verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Don't you think it just fit in with the 21st century now? They make their own rules and expect others to follow. They answer to no one. And they are the one that matters. And not only their universe, but others should revolve around them. That's what they expect. Folks, A lot of people think that born-again Christians do not have a pleasure. We do have a pleasure. Born-again Christians don't have to choose between pleasure and God, because our serving God should be our ultimate pleasure. Amen. Serving God should be our ultimate pleasure. Seventh characteristic I find is having form of godliness but denying its power. What does it mean? Let me explain. In our self-obsessed world, people feel free to have a buffet religion. Buffet religion. So that they can pick and choose what they want and ignore what they don't like. They feel free to be this very spiritual, but they don't want any obligation to be biblical. So what they do is they choose what they like. Okay, I like salvation. I like forgiveness. I like mercy and, of course, the love of God. That's a very good thing. We want all that, but we don't care about sin. As to glory, sacrifice, what's that? Ignore that. And they pick and choose from here and there, hodgepodge, making a religion, buffet religion. They are spiritual, but they are not biblical. Listen, 84% of Americans consider themselves Christian. 84%. As you all know, that not all of them are truly born-again Christian. Only 31% claim that they are born-again Christian. We went over this. If you are not a born-again Christian, you are not Christian at all. Okay? According to my Bible, according to your Bible on your left, it says clearly. If you want me to show you, I will show it to you as long as you have a time. But how many of them, even the born-again Christians, 31% of born-again Christians, how many of them truly wants to have a God's will over theirs? You tell me. People say, well, Jesus is my Savior. All right, good, fine and dandy. Is Jesus your Lord? It's one thing to have Him as a Savior, but it's another thing for Him to be my Lord, for so He can control my life and serve Him with all of my heart and soul. Verse 6 of 2 Timothy, finally. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. For of this sort are that those who creep into the household and make the captives of a gullible woman loaded down with sins, led away of various lusts, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. I should make this very clear before I get the glares from the ladies. It doesn't mean that the Bible does not suggest that all the women are like this and all the guys are so much smarter and they are not gullible to the false teaching. However, we have to acknowledge one thing. In general, women are more spiritual than men. Guys, you have to admit that. Women are more spiritual than men. If you notice, I didn't say biblical, spiritual, because they tend to be more emotional. If anyone thinks that they are spiritual, if anyone considers himself or herself spiritual but not biblical, you better be careful what you're getting into. Person who worship totem pole, like where I came from, Sweden, or those who believe animals is a god, they are spiritual, but they are not biblical. Am I making sense to you? There's a tremendous difference. We're going to learn about the false teachers and their doctrines in near future studies in this book. But allow me to say this much. False teachers use guilt and gimmicks to manipulate their followers with Bible verses which they took out of context. But in the end, the followers are always searching for truth, but they'll never be able to satisfy it. These false teachers worm their way in and assume control over the lives of the followers. It's not long before these teachers grab their followers' lives and loyalty, money, and service. And they are converts worse off than before. They still have their problem, but they are duped to thinking that all is well. That's a common situation. Move down to verse 8, please. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of a corrupt mind disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. For their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Though Jannes and Jambres' name were not mentioned in Exodus 7, who are, obviously these are the two Egyptian magicians who opposed Moses before Pharaoh. I'm sure that you all remember the situation when Moses threw down his staff. It turned into a serpent. And these Jannes and Jambres, they all had a staff, so they threw down the staff and turned into two serpents. Well, what do you know? Moses' serpent swallowed their serpents, and I guess they didn't get to have their staff back. So Moses this time turned the Nile water into the blood. These two yo-yos turned the rest of water into the blood. And Moses, through God's power, brought all the frogs from all over Egypt. Guess what these two did? They brought more frogs. You know, if our pharaohs, they're supposed to fight against the miracles of Moses, not add more to it, make the situation worse. I would do something about this to like a head off shoulders, something like that. But these were the guys who were doing this. Satan is the imitator of what God, the Lord does. The false teachers in the last days will have a counterfeit faith, and their purpose is to promote lies and resist the truth of God's word. You with me?
Yep.
They deny the final authority of the Bible. Folks, when I ask you to pick up the Bible and remind ourselves, whatever this says is a final. I really don't care what you think. I don't care what I think. If this thing says, that's the end of it. You with me? And so you're thinking. They try to deny the final authority of the Bible and substitute with the human ideas and philosophy. They insist the Bible is outdated and need to be modernized and deny the reality of sins and people's need for salvation. That's not true. I know a Christian brother who tells me that, insists that, Satan does not have a power to bring miracles. He's a kind of traveling guy and have his own ministry. And when he told me that, he said, okay, you're not coming to our church anymore. Satan has a power to do miracles. Don't think that he's some guy with the red ties running around with a pitchfork. He's not. He's powerful. He's conniving. If you're not paying attention to what he's doing, you will be duped. He allows his false teachers to use miraculous power. Don't believe in a miracle. Jesus said, don't get excited about the miracles, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Some people are so excited about walking on the hot coal or bending the spoon with the mind's power. Have you ever seen that? I have. That's that's a miracle from Satan. It's a common thing. Don't get into that kind of garbage. We'll make a three applications. Number one, I know I'm going on, I'm in the soapbox, but oh well. It's not the first time. Won't be the last time. You got that right, buddy. When someone quotes the Bible verse, please read at least five verses before and after so you can keep everything in context. You with me? You have to keep it in context. What's the proposal for me to give you this sermon online and with all the verses written there? I want you to go home, check it, okay? See if I'm telling the truth. If not, stone me. Yeah, you get excited, huh? Second application. Never, never take a human idea and philosophy over the Word of God. The Word of God has final authority. Third application. When God's judgment falls, true identity of the false teachers will be revealed to everyone. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word. You not only be a Savior, but you be our Master and our Lord, our King. You control our lives the way you want and use us for your glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.